Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is your partner in success, Denise Griffiths, online entrepreneur and virtual assistance industry expert. And I want to welcome you to the online online entrepreneur audio interview series. I couldn't be more excited to be here with you today. We have a great guest, and I'm very excited about it. I have created this audio series to provide you with practical guidance from other very successful entrepreneurs who will teach you the key secrets on how they build and grow their online businesses. My intention for this series is to empower you to achieve your dreams and live a successful and accomplished life. I'm very excited today because I have the great privilege of being joined by Tom Buford. Tom is the founder of ChargeWhatYouDeserve.com, and I have to tell you, I love that name. One of the most common questions that I get from virtual assistants who are starting out in the business, and even VAs who are currently working but struggling with their businesses, is what do I charge? It's the perennial question, and one that Tom is here to help you with. He will help you by identifying fears, uncertainties, and doubts that you experience when setting your professional fees. So first of all, Tom, welcome, and thank you for joining me. It is really a privilege to have you here, and I appreciate your willingness to share what you know with our listeners. So, Tom, can you start by sharing some more of your story? How did you create Charge What You Deserve, and what a brilliant name?
Well, thank you. Maybe I lucked into that. It was kind of a fun happenstance when I came up with that name, but I'll back up a little bit. Originally, I'm from San Diego, California, and I came out to Atlanta about 20-something years ago, and having San Diego weather here right now, which is awesome. But I got a degree in marketing back in 1993, and shortly after that, I realized that corporate America wasn't my gig, so to speak, and fell into a business that wound up being a really, really great lucrative business, and it was an automotive painting, which, you know, was a great niche that I got into several years ago. But doing the paint work, even though I created a very successful business, I had a lot of limits physically with it. You know, it started to take its toll on me and my back and breathing fumes and all this, so I decided, what can I do about this? You know, I need to get into something different. So I said, you know, I've got a marketing degree and I have over a decade of successful small business experience. So I love working with people and helping them with their business ideas, and I realized I was doing a lot of that already. So I decided, I wanted to be a coach. And I went through a coaching curriculum. It was a great school. Everything was good. The one thing I noticed is that there was no help with fee setting. They would kind of just put people out to the wolves, so to speak, and say, well, you know, copy your competition, see what other people are charging, and charge accordingly. And that didn't make a whole lot of sense for me personally. It's not a good model. There was no model, really, to follow. And who knows who you're following. If you're finding someone's fees on the Internet and say, well, that looks great, who's to say that that's a successful business? Who's to say that they're charging enough? And I think as humans getting started in the business, what we'll tend to do is go down the path of least resistance, which means we're gonna look at the lowest fees, and those are the ones we're gonna copy because we don't want to hear a no. We get apprehensive. We don't have the confidence in our skills and abilities getting started. And once we get there, it's very hard to get out of that. So I created Charge What You Deserve, and it's been, you know, I've actually created a really great program that's been very successful. I've had people just from some of my newsletters, just some things that just click with people, you know, write to me and say, hey, I've been able to increase my fees 50% in, you know, a week, literally, because some people have that and much more headroom in their fees. And that's what we're here to talk about today.
And you're absolutely right. You know, I get that same question all the time. You know, VAs will come to me and say, well, you know, I'm charging $50 an hour. And I have to tell you, I just swallow real hard. Are you kidding me? I've looked at your skill sets. I know what you can and can't do. You're not going to get any work. Or I come across very, very skilled VAs who are charging way below what they should be charging. And they're giving so much value to their clients, but they're really shortcutting themselves.
You're right.
So, you know, it's from both sides of that spectrum. I'd like to chat with you about that.
Uh-huh.
So do you think that setting fees too low can have a negative impact on attracting clients?
Yeah, it definitely can, for several reasons. Not only on attracting clients, but also on the industry as a whole. When people start lowering their fees out of fear, number one, mm-hmm. people kind of smell that, and they realize that, okay, you're lowering your fees, you keep going down, you're obviously not valuing your own service. You're not going to attract okay. many clients if you can't put the value and perceive the value. But also then, people kind of tend
it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then people follow suit. And then so suddenly, you start undercutting people out there, and one problem is that people are generalists. They don't specialize. So there's too much competition when there doesn't need to be. It's very easy to specialize, particularly as a virtual assistant or any service professional.
And that's a great point, and I hope we can expand on that too. That's actually a fabulous point. But what happens, I guess just from a psychological view, what happens when the client, I know what happens when I say my fees, and I have no problem with stating my fees. A lot of people can't just take a deep breath and say them. They go, ooh, I don't know if they're going to want to hear this or not. What happens when a client comes to you and says, okay, I need this, 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 it's very specific, it's technologically challenging, I need you to work, this many hours, and they have a very clear idea of what it is that they're looking for, and you say, I can do that for $15 an hour. What do you think the client's or potential client's reaction is to that?
I think that it needs to get back to you expressing the value that you offer up front mm-hmm. and letting people know before you even get into the conversation of, what you charge is what you bring to the table for your clients. And I like to, this is something you're going to hear more than once today in this conversation because I can't say it often enough. When someone just comes and says, here's the skill set, I want these tasks taken care of, they probably already have a price in mind. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't matter what you think they have in mind. You need to kind of stick to your guns and work with the clients that are willing to pay your fees. But when you okay. express to them the value that you offer, you're much more than just a bullet list of tasks. You mm-hmm. offer a lot more than that. You offer a streamlined business. You offer less stress, less overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
So there's much more value that you bring to the table than just this bullet list of tasks that you're gonna have. And personally, if I went to someone and they said $15 an hour, I wouldn't work with them.
My experience. You just don't do that. You just say, if you don't, if you're not more skilled than that, I probably can't work with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I had an interview, I just completed an interview series with a lot of very successful business service professionals. One of them was Dave Lacani, and he's, he charges a couple $1,000s an hour for his services. And I talked to him about fee setting. And one thing he said, he had a financial planner that showed up in his office, and he said, someone has the guts to come in and just knock on my door, I'll give them 5 minutes. And
right.
So he sat down with him, and they started talking, and he got to the to what he charges, and he said $30 an hour. And Dave looked at him and he says, I don't think that we are on the same page. And his belief was, if he's only charging $30 an hour, I don't want him to handle my money.
Exactly.
And that's...
I feel the same way.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, that's definitely... You can have a very negative impact on not just attracting clients, but the types of clients that you want to attract. And I think it's important for you to define who this is, who's your ideal client.
And I have this conversation a lot with struggling VAs and new VAs, people who want to come into this industry because it is a huge, explosive growth industry that's just beginning. It's an infant, this industry.
Yep.
And I will tell them straight out, I'm very fussy about who I work with. I can pick and choose my clients, and you should be able to as well.
That's right.
You have a client or a potential client that comes to you and says, I want you to check my email, and I want you to do this, that, and the other, and it's all pretty standard fare. First of all, you need to go to them and say, how about other time seepage tasks? How are your businesses running? Can we examine your business model? How can I really help you?
Uh-huh.
Then you're providing value. You're looking at the overall picture, understanding what you can do to help this client, expressing to the client what you can do to help the client. And really, you're setting your fees at that time because your value is going up and up and up.
Absolutely.
But what happens is you'll get these clients and you can tell them, and I tell this to people, if your tummy hurts when you're talking with them, get off the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't deal with them. They will nitpick you to death. If they want to say, I can get this from Elance for $10 an hour, give them Elance's you
Absolutely.
will and send them on their way.
Definitely.
Don't deal with those clients. They will make your life difficult.
Yep.
You know,
you need to listen to your gut. You know, one thing
to your gut is right.
Yeah, you know, you need to listen to your gut, and one thing that's very important is to realize that people that are just looking for an hourly rate and they want the cheapest hourly rate are not going to respect your time. And this is something also, what they're going to do is they're going to throw so much garbage at you that they could have streamlined ahead of time. When I send something to my VA, I pay $55 an hour. I don't want to have to communicate back and forth four times on an email, so I make sure that she understands the first time what it is that I need. So that's easier for her because I realize I'm paying her more than $5, $10 an hour, and I do it happily because I get the results that I want, and she provides the value that I need. But you get better clients if you raise your fees because they're going to be a little more particular about what they get you to do and not just spinning your wheels with a bunch of busy work.
Right. And I tell my clients, listen, we'll answer your email, but you're going to be paying a lot of money for that. I really think you need to do that yourself.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, you just... If somebody wants you to just post on Craigslist and answer their email, maybe do their Google calendaring, I promise you they are not ready for a VA. And my best advice is don't take them. No matter how hungry you think you are, don't take them. They're not ready, and you will be unhappy. Both of you will be, actually.
Yep.
So setting your fees at a rate that is fair to your client and that really reflects what you're worth to the client is the only thing that makes sense to me.
I agree. Yeah, definitely.
So what are the main reasons that you find service professionals aren't charging what they deserve? Is it fear? Is it they just honestly don't have a model, as you stated? Or they're following somebody around on the Internet that says, well, I charge $35 an hour, so I'm going to charge that too, not even knowing what it is that they're offering. What do you think the main roadblocks are?
You know, there's a lot of them, and you touched on a couple. There's lack of confidence, not knowing where to start, focusing on the tasks that they perform rather than the value they offer. And
I like that.
You know, and another thing that people do too, and I'll touch on a couple of these and go in a little bit deeper. One thing people do is they consider their own budget and priorities when setting their fees.
Oh.
And that's a big, especially when you're starting your own business. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when you're starting your business, you're trying to get your feet off the ground. You're not necessarily going to spend $45, $50 an hour on a virtual assistant right now.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that your clients aren't more than ready to spend that kind of money. So you need to realize it's not your checkbook that's coming out. So don't even try to consider what their budget is and what they have in mind, because no one's going to have the exact same number in mind.
So instead of looking at what you need and what you think that you can get, you just say, this is what my value is, and
absolutely
articulate that value, and then state your fee.
Yeah. You know, another thing, too, that people do is they feel that they need years of experience before they can raise their fees.
Right. And that's absolutely not true, and I'd like for you to tell me why.
You know, there's a certain you're always going to learn.
Right.
You're always going to learn. You know, fee setting is my specialty, but I did an interview series recently where I picked up so much great information from 12 other service professionals. This is a constant learning curve. That doesn't mean that I say, well, you know, I still have more to learn, so I'm going to stay, keep my fees cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense because I know what I have to offer is incredibly valuable.
Right.
So any service professional coming out, as long as you tap into what you've already learned, you can be brand new starting off as a quote-unquote virtual assistant, but can have 10, 15, 20 years experience in skills and areas that can add value to your business.
Oh, yeah.
So
there
is no...
administrative, there's, you know, a lot of people come from a corporate background that...
Mm-hmm.
That can absolutely do this if they just understand what it is that they've learned over the years. And a lot of them will come and say, well, you know, I don't know how to create a blog. Not difficult. We can teach you how to do that. But you know, they'll kind of paralyze themselves. Oh, I can't do everything that you do. You can learn. And that's the beauty of being an online entrepreneur. We do learn every day.
Oh, yeah,
and we
absolutely.
We mentor each other and we coach each other and we all get in a group and we chat and we visit, and some great masterminding sessions produce great products and great ideas.
Yeah.
And we're not standing alone, and that's one of the reasons why I'm hosting this online entrepreneur series. We don't do it alone. We really don't. And if you're going to hug your cards to your chest and say, well, I can do this all by myself, trust me, you can't. You really need to listen to other people like Tom, who know how to do fee setting and really just get you psychologically where you need to be, but seek out everybody in your niche, in your, you know, go to Facebook, go to LinkedIn, and start chatting with people. It's amazing what you'll find.
Uh-huh.
And people want to help, and I say this every day. People truly do want to help you. You just ask for it.
Absolutely.
And they'll help you. It's amazing.
Yep.
You know, that's the beauty of being an online entrepreneur. It's a completely and totally different population, I think, than being in a corporate world or a small business office. Completely different. It's amazing, and it's joyful every day.
Yeah. Well, you know, and too, you touched on the fact that someone can come back with a corporate background, but I don't want to negate the fact that somebody that doesn't have any corporate background has so much to offer. You know, there are housewives that have been that are more organized than any, you know, corporate assistant on the planet.
Isn't that the truth?
And they, you know, look back and go, wow, you know, I've been blogging for a couple of years, and I'm already on Facebook, and I already have some of the skill set. And even if they don't, it's quick to learn. It seems overwhelming at first, but just take one thing at a time and move forward. So definitely don't start off going, well, you know, I'm just starting, so I'm going to be $10 an hour. You're going to frustrate yourself. You're not going to attract clients because they're going to say, well, $10 an hour, what am I going to get for that?
Right.
So, and we'll touch on that a little bit later, too. I've got a little advice for people to kind of instantly get their fees up quickly when they're getting out.
Well, and that leads us into my next question, which is a lot of current virtual assistants, and they're working in the industry now. Many of them are struggling a little bit, and some are doing very, very well. The ones that are struggling, they know that they have great value that they're offering. They know that their clients love them. They know that they really enjoy what they're doing, and they're doing it right. They're learning every day. They're offering more value. They just can't bring themselves to go to their client and say, you know, it's time for me to raise my fees. What do they do? A lot of them say, I'll lose my client. Well, how do you know? You know, what are some of the fears that you can address there? Because I hear this is my second biggest question. The first one is, what do I charge? The second one is, boy, I got stuck, you know, telling my client I would give them $15 an hour forever and ever. Now what do I do?
Well, you know, first it's the fear of hearing no. And, you know, of considering that, you know what, I'm not going to be available to those who need my services. And this is one of the things, you know, virtual assistants, it's kind of similar to coaches, you know, the coaching industry, where it's people coming in that are in, your business is helping other people. So it's a compassionate industry. And what you tend to do is you tend to kind of be a martyr when you do this. I mean, I did it starting off as a coach, so I'm not pointing finger at anyone. It just something you tend to do, so you take on more than you need to, but you're not helping anyone. You're going to be stressed out and out of business if you're not charging what you deserve. And one thing that I work with people immediately is creating multiple offers. If they can't afford your services, point them somewhere else. Either point them to someone else that's willing to do it, like you said, point them to Elance, or create a blog that's helpful for people for the tasks that they're interested in learning about. Have a newsletter, write articles. You can have a teleseminar that you put on once a month, and it's a clinic teleseminar. Then you can package those teleseminars, have, you know, six different topics, and create a quote-unquote like a virtual assistant in a box. And now you're creating something that's available to these people, so they don't have to spend hundreds of dollars a month to invest in their business at this point. Now what you've done, though, is you've gotten them to know, like, and trust you. So later when they're ready to make that leap, guess who they're going to call?
Exactly.
You know, you're now their resident expert.
Right. I do this all the time. I will get potential clients that simply, and I have a fairly comprehensive chat that I go through with these people. I don't want to take on clients that really are not ready, whether they're just not ready financially or they really can do most of this themselves. What they're doing is not complex enough for them to make that leap. And I'll tell them, you know, we do have fledgling VAs in our team who can help you at a little bit lower rate, and I'll put you in touch with them. So when you are, you know, to the level that you need to be to compete with other online entrepreneurs, you can come back to us and we'll be very, very, you'll still be within our team, but you won't, you know, you'll be working at a slightly different level. Or I find somebody that is not part of my team that is another VA firm who can take these particular clients because their needs may not be as technical. We're a very technical firm. We do a lot of technologically complex things. There are other firms that don't work at quite that level, and they're happy to take these clients. So we do a lot of back and forth with other people who can help. We don't just turn them away.
Uh-huh.
You never want to do that. You always want to offer something and help them. Even if you never speak with this person again, go out of your way to help that person.
Absolutely. But don't give your services away for free either, and don't discount your services, because then that little game will never stop. You know, as soon as you start
we have
budging
a
on your removing
agreement
your fees.
With other people.
Uh-huh.
But I know exactly what you're talking about. So what specifically, what can people do to really kind of overcome raising their fees? Let's talk about that specifically, because that is a biggie. I'm getting ready to raise my fees at the end of this year.
Uh-huh.
A little bit. Not much. If you need my clients.
No, that's fine.
but
I tell people, raise your fees every 6 months. When you get comfortable with your fees, it's time to raise your fees. And it doesn't have to be a big leap. And now one thing, too, and I work on it extensively. I have a product, and I'll talk about it later, that walks people through raising when and if to raise your fees with current clients. And I take a different approach. I think that you can do two things. You can raise your fees with current clients, and you can raise your fees a little differently with new clients, or raise them with new clients and a little differently with existing clients. So it's almost like giving your existing clients a discount, but you're still going up on your fees slightly. If you want, it depends on your business model and how many, how full your practice is. And you know, there's a lot of different pieces to the puzzle. But one of the main things you can do to overcome this fear is to start focusing on the value. And again, I said I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again. Be the problem solver. You're more than an assistant. What I like people to consider themselves, no matter what they are, if you're a service professional, your client is now your virtual business partner.
Mm-hmm.
So you're more than
a strategic partner.
Yeah, if I go out of business, you've lost a client, if you're my virtual assistant. So it behooves you to make sure that I'm in business. Now, that doesn't mean lowering your fees. But that, when you go into that with that mindset that, hey, I have a lot to offer, and I'm going to focus on the value that I bring, and I am more this person's business partner than just an assistant. Because when you think of yourself as an assistant, you start labeling all the tasks that you perform. But again, it goes to, that's how we get to the end result.
Right.
It's like coaches say, well, I work with someone 3 times a month, 45 minutes at a time, and I charge X number of dollars. Well, you didn't express any value. And no one really cares how often you get together, how often you meet, and what tasks are taken care of. It's what are you freeing their time up for? And when a virtual assistant's working with another professional, they need to focus on the fact that they're freeing up that person's time to work on revenue-generating activities. And that's the biggest thing. That's the reason I hired a virtual assistant, so that I'm not doing very important tasks, but tasks that weren't directly related to my making money. If I'm not doing teleseminars, if I'm not doing the one-on-one coaching or consulting, if I'm not speaking, if I'm not writing material, writing articles, in essence, I'm losing money based on my time. So I value my time, very, very much. So it's crucial for me to hire somebody and have someone in place that can help me get away from those tasks. And that's
perfect sense. Most clients, in fact, all of my clients, without exception, are extremely creative individuals, and they're very, very passionate about what they do. And those time seepage tasks and the minutia sometimes just floors them. I mean, they hit a wall at the end of the day. They just can't keep on moving. And a good virtual assistant will take over those tasks and, as you said, step up and find ways to build and grow your partner's business, if you will. We don't sit at the end of the phone or the end of our computer and just wait for tasks. We're actively studying and figuring out ways that we can get you a product into podcasts or get you some teleseminars up and running, create a blog talk radio. We're always busy. We're always working on your behalf. And that goes back to how you set your fees in a roundabout kind of way, because you're bringing so much value to your client that they don't mind. They're happy to pay those fees.
Absolutely.
And it's a joyful experience for everybody because everybody's excited. You're working together to create these businesses and grow these businesses. And even though the business that you're working for is not yours, you're part of it. You help build it. And that's a lot of fun. It's very, very rewarding. So communicating fees with confidence at that point is not an issue. not a problem at all.
No, not at all. When you focus on the value and get away from the process, that's mm-hmm. when suddenly you realize, okay, this is a very valuable, this is, again, it's more than just an assistant. I'm not trying to say just an assistant, because that mm-hmm. is huge. But it's kind of your limiting belief in thinking that that's all you have to bring to the table and I should be charging $10, $15 an hour because someone on Elance is doing it. Mm-hmm. When you become the problem solver for your people, and that's what you are doing, you are creating a relationship that goes far beyond just this. And there's an analogy, mm-hmm. you might have heard it before. It's about a guy that walks into a hardware store and he's looking to buy a drill. And the clerk at the hardware store says, well, what do you need the drill for? Well, I want to drill a hole. Well, why are you drilling the hole? And they have a conversation. He realizes what he needs is a pegboard with a couple screws and whatnot, because he wanted to hang some things on a wall. He didn't need the drill. He needed the pegboard. So he walks out happy as can be because he got what he wanted. And it's the same thing. Your clients come to you for one thing, but they really want something else, and it's your job to help them find that. And it comes intuitive for you because you're behind the scenes and you see what's happening behind the website or what's going on with someone's shopping cart. And
exactly
you're in a position to help people so, you know, in such a valuable way.
Well, for people who are just now understanding this concept, and I'm sure there's a lot of you, we'll open it up after a little bit and take questions and see if this is a fairly new concept to a lot of people. I suspect that it is. But if they're just now kind of working their mind around this concept, how do they overcome this fear if they just have not identified their value that they may have to their client? And I'm not talking just about virtual assistants. I'm talking about coaches. I'm talking about copywriters, anybody who is a service professional in the internet. How do they kind of wrap their mind around overcoming that fear?
You know, one thing, I like people to create a value inventory, and that's literally taking out a piece of paper and writing out all of the things that you bring to the table. And a lot of what people bring to the table are some of their quote-unquote failures. I don't like to call them failures because they're learning experiences. But, mm-hmm. you know, people get their confidence down because they, you know, made a step backwards. Well, they tend to lose sight of all the progress that they made and what they learned in the meantime. So create literally a physical inventory that you can reflect on. But also talk to people who are in need of your service, whatever that is. And talk to someone that would be your ideal client. And find out what it is that they need and want. And just by communicating that and getting that, you'll realize what you have to offer to them, or you can learn it very quickly.
Very nice.
And you'll know that you have this value to offer.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And you know, another thing, too, about fees, literally, I like to tell people, say it out loud. Get used to saying your fees out loud. And mm-hmm. talk to yourself in the shower, talk to your friends, talk to your dog, talk to the wall, the computer screen. Just say them, because what we do is we write the fees down, we tuck it away, and the conversation comes up and gulp. Well, what do I say?
I know.
And it becomes a reflex. It's a physical muscle reflex when you do that. You just get used to it. Well, I charge $50 an hour, that's it.
Well, and you know, a lot of us, I think people don't really understand that humans tend to think in images.
Uh-huh.
Put that fee up there and have it in that little cartoon bubble over your head. Carry it around with you all the time.
Absolutely.
I had a virtual assistant who, and she's a great virtual assistant, but she was having exactly these problems. How do I charge fees? And one of her biggest problems was she was taking people for very small hours a month, which we don't do, and I can explain that in another call. But she said, well, how do you tell people your fees? And I said, I take a deep breath and just say it. It doesn't occur to me that what I'm saying is going to be offensive or hurtful in any way. These are my fees. I've already expressed my value to your company, and this is my fee. And either you're going to say, oh, okay, great, which most of them do, or I'm going to hear a deep indrawn breath, at which point I'm pretty sure that they really can't afford it. And then we start talking about what can be done to help them without, you know, turning them away. But, you know, I'm very confident in my fees, and I just take a breath, and I just say what it is, and I say how many hours, and I state my terms very clearly with great clarity. It really stands me in good stead. There's no confusion.
Uh-huh.
And,
you know,
my client isn't having to ask questions like, well, you know, when do I pay the retainer? When do I get billed again? It's I've got my elevator speech. It's all there.
Mm-hmm. You set your fee and then you fill it with value, and you go beyond and you over-deliver. If you do that, then in good conscience, you can set your fee wherever you're comfortable with, and the market is there. There is a group of people out there that will pay. There are people out there that are charging $200, $300, $400, $500 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to balk at someone who's charging them $50 an hour to mainstream their business, you know, to keep it running smoothly so that they don't have to stress when they're out giving a speech. They've got someone that, hey, you know what, I forgot my memory chip or my memory card. Give me my zip card. Mm-hmm. Can you email it to me? And that, boom, there's their speech. I mean, how much is that worth? That's potentially thousands and thousands, and for some people, tens of thousands of dollars.
That's right. You know,
to have that person there.
You know, one of the things that we're hearing so much about, and I frankly turn the news off, I can't stand it, but is the economy. You know, the economy is of paramount importance to everybody right now.
Uh-huh.
And depending on what news outlet you listen to, we're either in a recession or a depression. I don't listen to any of them, but I know a lot of people do, and they're very, very worried about what is going on, especially with this, I guess we can call it a bailout right now. What do you tell people that are worried about that? Because I'm not seeing a huge slowdown in internet activity. What do you think?
You know, the beautiful thing about being a virtual assistant or being a coach or a consultant or having any sort of online business is that you can think globally and not locally. And yes, the United States is having some issues right now. We're going to get past them. We always do. How bad is it going to get? I don't know. I have no idea. I can tell you one thing. There will always be people out there that have money and that are willing to spend money. And they're not going to let their businesses go. And in fact, this is the time people need the most help. And this is when they're looking, you know, we're such a reactionary civilization. And what we do, we don't go to a doctor to prevent health problems. We go to one after we have a health problem. And so when people start to have stress in their business, that's when they seek out.
Hello?
One second, lost my headset. Okay, you there?
Yeah.
Got so excited about the topic.
I do that
so
when I jump up and down and walk.
Yeah, I know. So people, you know, in these times now is when they're looking for help. And they need
solutions. I'm seeing that
solutions.
Same thing.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, don't get wrapped up in it. Yes, there are problems. There are always going to be problems somewhere. The media certainly doesn't help when it's in our face every day. And take a deep breath and realize that the business is still out there. There's plenty of business. I know a lot of people. I talked to probably 3-4 people this week that are colleagues of mine that are looking for virtual assistants. One of my friends is so stressed out. You might be getting an email from her because I gave her your name.
Okay.
And she has a great business. She's making plenty of money, you know, but she's stressed out. She needs help. And
those are the people we love to talk with because we can soothe them almost immediately.
Absolutely. So, okay, there are problems here in the States, but is Canada feeling this? Not to the extent that we are. So why don't you have clients in Canada? You know, one of my first clients.
Actually, I have a lot of clients in Canada.
I'm sure you have them all over the country. Or, I mean, all over the world.
Yeah,
one of my first clients was in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, so I have people that subscribe from New Zealand and Australia. So the idea is to not focus so much on the problems. Go out there and do your business and don't react to this by lowering your fees and getting into a panic mode. Again, there are always going to be people out there that have money to spend and are willing to spend it on their business.
Well, and if you look at history, anytime something like this happens, it creates a wealth of new opportunities. Be very aware of those new opportunities and create your own.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
that's
this
right.
is a great time to be an entrepreneur in my mind. I mean, this is
well,
not
it
a time
is.
To say, poor, poor, pitiful me.
I
this
agree.
Is a time to look around and see who needs help, where you can take your skill sets and work them into a business for yourself.
That's right.
This is. I'm actually really excited about what's going on in my business. Rather, both of my businesses, I'm a web developer by trade, and I also own a virtual assistance firm. Both of them are going through the roof.
Yeah.
And
well, think
I don't
about
see
it.
Any slowdown for me at all.
You know, Denise, how many people lost their jobs this year? Probably quite a few. What are they doing? A lot of them are going back and starting their own business now.
That's right. And they're going.
They're not necessarily broke or destitute. They lost their jobs, but they have a savings account. They're getting out there, and they're starting their own business. And what are they going to do? They're going to spend money on ramping their business up.
That's exactly
so you're
right.
That's why you're seeing more work, with more websites being put out there. And so it's such a great industry to be in, the virtual assistant business, because there's no lack of work out there.
I agree with you. And, I do get calls from people say, I just don't know what to do. Slow down and do something.
Network,
exactly right. And like I said at the top of the show, talk with other people, visit with other people, read these blogs, sign up for their newsletters, ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
We want to help you. We are here to help. We really are. Every online entrepreneur that I know is very gracious with their time, very, very helpful. And it's amazing. I've been doing this for a while, and I still get blown away by it. I shouldn't, but I do.
No, well, I think we all are like that. We want to help people. That's why we've gotten into our business as, a virtual assistant or a coach or a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And, not just networking with other virtual assistants, but network with other business owners that are – it doesn't have to be the people at the top necessarily, because they're the rising stars that are doing real well right now. Find those people. Start networking with them. Get on their – buddy list, get on Facebook, get on Twitter, and communicate with these
LinkedIn.
People.
Yeah,
and then people are going to see you there, and their friends and associates and colleagues are being successful, and so are their friends. So it's this great trickle down.
Well, did you want to open up and take a few calls? I know that we have a couple more things to talk about, but we'll be running out of time really quickly if we don't take some calls.
Well, what I'd love to do?
Are you ready for that?
First, I'd like to mention my offer real quick.
Oh,
in
that's
case
right.
People have to get off the phone, I want to make sure that they take advantage of this, because I do have a book that I put together that is for virtual assistants specifically.
In your book, aren't there some great tips to really communicate your fees with confidence that are specifically for VAs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about
this
offer.
Entire book. This is actually it's the Charge What You Deserve Ultimate Fee Setting Blueprint for Virtual Assistants. This book was basically took the backbone of my business, my book that I created for coaches and consultants, which was very valid for virtual assistants, but I rewrote a great deal of the book to be specifically for virtual assistants. And I've included an accelerated action workbook that is a PDF download that you can print out. The book that I'm offering is a digital download, so if you jump on it, it's there in your desktop this afternoon. There's an accelerated action workbook so that you can print out the forms that you need to fill in and do, because I have exercises and profit steps for people. So rather than print out the entire book, you can just print out those sections. And I've taken those separately and created a separate download. I've also created I'm going to have a live one-hour teleclass, Charge What You Deserve teleclass, scheduled in 1 week. So with
day?
This people, it's next Friday, It's next Friday night.
Oh,
but I'm going to record it, so if people can't make it, they'll get the recording as well.
Okay.
And also for the first 8 people that jump on it, I'm going to offer a 20-minute laser coaching session. That's just on the house.
I know what your laser coaching, I know what that is, but... Probably
basically, it's going to be 20 minutes on the phone with me, and I'm going to clear out the details ahead of time with a quick email. So we're going to get on the phone and take your fees and wrap them up at least, I'd say, 20 to 50%.
Oh,
and I'm going to give you actionable steps to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
And what people can do is go to, there's a website that I created just for this, and it's www.feesettingsecrets.com/va.php, and I'll repeat that. It's www.feesettingsecrets.com/V as in virtual, A as in assistant, .php. And all of that, the book, the two downloads, the live teleclass, and the chance of having a 20-minute laser coaching session are $97. And the price is going back up to $147 as of Monday morning. And the live coaching calls will be gone. And I'm also offering a 50% discount on my next 4-week teleclass series, which will be coming up in a few weeks.
Now, what is that class going to be about?
That's going to be going just deeper. And I'm going to cover some marketing tips and whatnot, strategies for just cranking up your business to the next level. Now, the book is certainly a standalone. People can take that and run with it and increase their fees immediately. I've had this people get amazing results. And literally, if you download it today, by the end of the weekend, you'll have a plan for more confidence. You'll actually have your actual fee, because in there I have a great section that's called the Lifestyle Fee Setting Formula. And it's just a fill in the numbers, figure out your fee. And it's based on what you want. It's actually a pretty cool tool for people. And there's no one out there that's ever done this that I'm aware of. This is something that I came up with for my business, and I realized it worked so well for me when I was setting my fees that I've adapted this just for VAs. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Wow.
So there's 14 chapters in this book. Again, you can download it immediately and get working on it. And if you're one of the first 8 people, you'll have a 20-minute laser coaching call with me, and I will just shoot you an email after I get all the names, and we'll set that up for the next sometime next week.
Oh, I want the laser thing. I want to be on one of those.
Hey, $97, and you get only the laser, you get the book, you get the something else. I'm going to do, in case someone gets this call late, I'm also going to throw in a couple extras for the 25th and 50th people. And if I don't get to the 50 sales, then what I'll do is maybe do 25 and 20, something like that, because I want to offer up 2 more, a total of 10. So if people do get to this late, it's not just about that. But I do want to work with people that are eager to get moving and recognize what they want in their business right now. And if this isn't right for you right now, that's fine. I understand. Sign up for my newsletter. You'll get free tips. You'll get a great report that's 5 deadly mistakes to fee setting and what to do if you made them. And but if you really want to make that leap, this is definitely the way to get started.
Well, I'm on your newsletter list, and I strongly recommend that everybody get it. It's a great newsletter.
Thank you.
So let's go ahead and open up the lines and take
sure,
a couple
absolutely.
Of calls. I know we have a lot of people, and if y'all want to get in on that, what did you say, 8 laser? First 8 people, is that what you said?
First 8 people get 1 20-minute laser coaching session with me. And
don't
underestimate that, because in 20 minutes we will get to the root of what's holding you back from charging you what you deserve right now. And there
well,
will absolutely
be... Board, and we have a ton of people on this call right now.
Well, good. So. Oh, by the way, too, I'm offering something else, too. I'm going to do... there's a 100% money-back guarantee on this. If at the end of 90 days... your fees aren't 25% higher, then I'm going to give your money back if you want, if you don't find a value in it. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to be signing up myself.
Great.
Okay. We're going to take a really quick call here. Hang on just a second. Hello, welcome to the call. What is your name? Might take a minute.
Technology. Hey, you're VA. You should handle it.
I know. It should be magic. Hello? Well, let's take that one off. Let's try another one. This next one is from the 602 area code. Sometimes it takes a while to connect. Hello, is anybody there? Well, we've got a couple people that should be able to... If you can't hear me, sometimes if you go to your alternate default player, like if you're using Windows Media or iTunes, you may want to just click on a different default player. Maybe you can hear us by that way, but I'll try a couple more. In the meantime, Tom, can you go ahead and give me the one best piece of advice that you would give a virtual assistant who wants to begin charging what they deserve? I know we've covered a lot of territory. What's your best piece of advice for them?
Yeah, it kind of ties into something I kind of teased earlier and said I'll talk about it in a second. And one thing is what people can do very quickly is position yourself as an expert. And by that, people think, well, to be an expert, you have to have 10 years of experience or whatever. There is no parameter for being an expert. Being an expert is knowing more than your market and your clientele. Mm-hmm. And what you do is start focusing on a specific group of people that you want to work with. And by that, I mean niche, a market. Who is this person? Identify your ideal client. And then interview 2, 3, 4 of these people. If you're already working with someone that's in that market, then touch base with them and find out what it is that drew them into you, what is most valuable to them, what it is that they want from you as a virtual assistant. And then learn. Hey.
I'm hearing somebody on there. Hello. Can you hear us?
I can hear someone there.
I can hear somebody too. Go ahead, Tom. Keep on. I'm sorry.
So, and the thing to do is to find this niche that you want to work with. And for instance, if it is information marketers like myself, coaches or consultants, you know, we need opt-in boxes. We need some of this back-end stuff that we have to, and collectively, mm-hmm. we as a whole need these things taken care of. If I'm talking with a virtual assistant, she or he can tell me that I work with one shopping cart and I know how to set up your opt-in boxes and your autoresponders on Aweber, you've definitely got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know that market, know, okay, what are the 3-4 things that they need most? And then learn how to deliver those 3 or 4 things, no matter
mm-hmm.
what that market is,
mm-hmm.
then you will be seen as an expert immediately.
That's exactly right. And I would add something to that, too. Whenever we talk to a potential client and they say, can you work in this particular system, let's say one shopping cart, and we can, but if it's something that we don't know, we will tell the client, we're very technically savvy, we will learn it, but we will learn it on our own time.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be charged for our learning curve. Clients
that's
love
right.
that.
Yep,
and
that's great.
It's something that you're going to need to learn to do anyway, to work with a bevy of clients. Never charge your client for that kind of thing. Learn it. Learn it on your learn HTML, learn minor programming. Just every day, make sure that you learn something new, and you will become a very sought-after assistant or coach. Whatever it is that you're working in, whatever niche that you're working in, you will be very well known, and you will become an expert.
Uh-huh.
And that's how you get business, and that's how you create jobs for other people. But every day, make sure that you learn something new and find out, as Tom says, what it is that your clients are going to need or think they need, or better yet, anticipate what they're going to need. I find in my practice that many, many of my clients, they don't have time to keep up with all the technology advances, but we do. And we can make suggestions that just, they're going, oh, we can do that? Huh, I never thought of that. Let's do it. And that's because we took the time to learn these systems and these processes on our own, and now it's added value. We take it to our clientele. And that's how we keep our practice full all the time. We're always learning. We're always offering. We're always sharing.
Yeah, and you are always learning. Again, you know, I'm definitely someone that's very comfortable working with people on raising their fees and charging what they deserve. There's always information for me to learn, and there's always going to be information for you to learn. So you can't base this on, okay, well, I have more to learn, so I can't raise my fees. Focus on the value that you offer right now, and it'll turn it all around for you.
Yes?
Hello?
Hey, we hear someone.
Hello, can you hear us? Oh, my goodness.
Getting so close.
I know. I want y'all to know this is not my fault.
Blog Talk Radio, come on.
Hello, anybody there?
There
we
go.
Anybody there?
Can you hear us?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you, but I don't think you can hear us.
Yes.
Hello?
What area code are you talking to?
Well, we have 5 different people that may be on the line. What area code are you?
I'm 562.
562. Hi, I see you. You're down here at the middle of the list. What is your name?
Oh, my name is Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. What is your question for Tom?
Okay, I'm in recruiting, like executive recruiting, professional placement.
Yep.
And a problem I have is loyalty. And also sometimes fee, because you do work with HR departments, and a lot of times they try to steal your people. They're trying to cut your fee. They're always telling you that they can get it cheaper. It's like they don't see your value. And I try to tell them what my value is, and they just sit there and roll their eyes.
Mm. Now, what is this market you're working with right now?
I do consumer products. I find people that they can't find after they've gone to Monster and Net and all these websites, and they can't find what these people didn't show up at their doorstep after they posted.
Uh-huh.
Then they come to me, and I do, I I don't find people on the internet. I call into companies, and I'm like a headhunter.
Yeah.
Are you a headhunter, or are you a recruiter, or are you both?
Well, headhunting and recruiting are kind of somewhat interchangeable.
Pretty much the
okay.
same. Yeah. So, you know, I wonder if it's the market you're working with that's not valued. There's definitely people that absolutely value the recruiters because what you offer is so valuable. Number one, you tend to know more than HR departments in terms of what is legal and what's not legal. And I'd focus maybe on some areas that where are you going to save them money that the HR department can't in the long run. And, you know, there are obviously legal ramifications for making the wrong comment in an interview, asking the wrong questions for interviewees. And, you know, if the value, you know, you're expressing the value and they're not seeing it, is there another market or is there another group of people that you can tap into that are...
At one time I used to do work with the aerospace industry and a lot of the little manufacturers and stuff and engineering. And, you know, it's the same problem we all have, and we all struggle with these same issues. It's very competitive. There's a lot of undercutting. Well, you know, they want to charge this percentage. Well, I can do it cheaper. Or, there's negotiating. Sometimes they take your candidate. They'll take your candidate, sit on it for 3-6 months, and then hire them behind your back. I guess recruiters, HR departments sometimes are in competition. I mean, they want to be the star in their company, and when a recruiter comes in and finds someone that they can't find, I guess maybe it makes them look bad. I guess they're defensive in some way. I don't know. It's do we have
is there any way to get is there any way to get past this HR department and start developing a relationship with the higher ups?
I've been doing this for a while, you know, doing this, and I've always interested in hearing new ways, because this is service industry, and all people in service industry somewhat deal with this in some form. And I have called directly, because you can go online and find out who are the company heads, or who is a VP of the marketing department, who is VP of engineering, or a company VP, department VP, and you call the head person. Well, what are your needs? Where are you going? What's your projections? You know, and you can ask them, and you can kind of try to bring them people. But then but it's like, well, you know, I'm going to send it to HR. Maybe, you know, if we can find it ourselves and not pay you, that's better for us than to pay you your fee. And because HR steps in, and that's when a lot of times the problems begin, is HR. Because HR, I don't know. So I'm just... Yeah, they don't want to pay the money. They'd rather take your people, or they, you know. I'm just wondering how we all deal with this in some level. All of us, recruiters, deal with this in some level. So,
yeah,
I'm just wondering what suggestions you have.
Well, Cheryl, do you have a relationship with recruiters that are very successful right now?
I do belong to a HR group, and we all sit around and talk about how we deal with this. A lot of times, you know, we work on commission, and a lot of us are not wanting to do commission, or we won't get paid partial up front, because they'll sign the commission, our fee agreement, they'll sign it, we'll do all the work, we'll spin our wheels, we'll find them, send them a couple candidates, and then they'll say, oh, we find some, and then after, in the end, they find somebody themselves somewhere else, and all your work is for nothing.
Uh-huh.
I've spun my wheels so many times for nothing in the end, and sometimes they don't get back with you, and I've even put in my fee agreement, you know, you have to call me back. You have, you know, like you have to make sure that there's a commitment there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and then we've sat around, all the other recruiters said, you know, if we can get a financial commitment up front, it's almost like if you were just, I have to compare it to this, but it's I guess the analogy is similar. It's like when you're an Avon lady or you sell cosmetics or something, and someone's ordering something. If you get a financial commitment up front, well, can you make a deposit? Then when you go in, and then 2 weeks later you come with the product, or a week later you come with the products, they've already made the deposit.
Yeah.
And so then they'll pay the rest. And unless it's, you know, so it's...
Well, Cheryl, this is, and I don't want to kind of cut this short, but this is a long conversation.
Okay.
This is something that's something I would highly recommend that you can check out the fee setting blueprint. But one thing I would do is don't focus on the people that are in that group. Find the people that are the most successful in your business, in your industry, that are headhunters that are doing very well. What are they doing? Because they're out there. I know of a couple personally. I have a friend that owns his fiance owns a recruiting business. And there are some specifics. You know, I don't know his business that well. I would, and that's why I always recommend that people interview, talk to people that are the most successful, not the other people that are having the same problem. Now what you're doing is it becomes kind of a powwow. It's like having a difficult time raising your fees, and you talk with five other people that are having a difficult time raising your fees. What you want to do is talk with five people that have gone past that and are charging what they deserve now. So I would highly recommend you find some people through a network, Facebook or wherever else you can network, any association, and get someone to talk to you. And I'm sure they're going to be very happy to talk to you. It's not because if they're doing well, they're not going to see you as competition. They're going to see you as someone that's coming up and working your tail off to get this business going and really adding value to the industry. And that behooves them to share with you what works and what doesn't work. Because there has to be a way of getting around that. There are other businesses that are doing it. I don't know. I'm not a headhunter. I can't tell you that specifically. But my first piece of advice would be to find people that are doing that and doing very well at that. Because that's not a raising the fees issue. This isn't so much a fee issue as much as a logistics of people, you know, sitting on your clients and then going behind your back.
Right.
Tom, give her your website again.
Yeah, it's Fee Setting Secrets.
Okay, fee set, because there's no chat line. Fee Setting Secrets.
Secrets.com.
.com.
/VA.
V
is in Victor, A is in Adam. .php.
Okay.
And you can also go to chargewhatyoudeserve.com and check out my newsletter and whatnot. It's not something I can't do. You know, extensive private coaching here on the phone. I mean, I definitely want to answer your questions, but that's a very, you know, that's going to be a kind of a drawn out conversation, and it's something I would love to help you with. But in the context of this, I think it would take too long to address and to do properly.
Sorry.
All right, Cheryl. No. I wish I could give you a real quick, concise answer, but I wouldn't be doing you any good at all by doing that. I can definitely hear your frustration, and I understand that.
Okay. All right, Cheryl. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, Tom. We have about a minute and a half to go. Well, we'll keep on talking, though. What'll happen is the webinar will go away, but we'll keep on recording. I think we still have some territory to cover here. I think.
Ask me.
Can you just kind of recap? I'm sorry. Somebody there?
No, that was me. I was going to say,
thank
ask me
you.
Whatever you want.
Okay. Can you just give us a quick recap? Like, not a blueprint, but just kind of a step by step of everything that we've talked about. Let people know really where they need to start to get their confidence up and running, to go ahead and either set fees or increase fees if they need to do that. And I know they need to do the one-on-one laser with you. I recognize that. Just kind of recap everything we've talked about here, if you would.
You know, I would say in a recap is one of the things that people are facing the most is a lack of confidence and a lack of knowing where to start. And there are resources out there that are certainly there to help you. Certainly the Charge What You Deserve Fee Setting Blueprint is fantastic. The laser coaching is fantastic. Sign up for my newsletter if that's the direction you need to go right now. It's going to take you much longer to get where you want. And you know, my question for people is, if they don't take action now, then when are they going to take action? And that tends to be kind of the thing. You kind of sit on your hands a while and until you get into a desperate situation. But creating the confidence to charge what you deserve and knowing what you want to charge is the most critical thing.
It is.
So,
and like we said earlier, this to me and to a lot of people that I've been talking with, you know, we are a community. We do talk about everything that's going on the internet with
mm-hmm.
different businesses. I have clients who are coaches. I have clients who are in the fitness industry. My clients reach across the spectrum. I couldn't even begin to describe them all.
Mm-hmm.
None of them, and I will say this, absolutely none of them are concerned about the economy or the downturn or what's going to happen if their client base is going to or their customer base is going to remain unaffected. None of them are concerned. And I will say with complete and total honesty, I'm not concerned. I see this as a time to really get creative and really do what you're passionate about and be inspired. Look around and see where people need help and look around and see where you can use your talents.
Uh-huh.
And just absolutely get busy. Don't sit around, wring your hands and go, oh my gosh, you know, my pension fund is, you know, took a little bit of a hit. Yeah, it did. Can you be actively effective in changing it? No. So do something different.
That's right.
And I really think this is great opportunities are coming, no question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the .com is fantastic, and it's a time to become
yeah.
creative and, like you said, you know, get out there and find the needs and fill it. And
mm-hmm.
if you're a virtual assistant, who out there is busy right now and needs your help? Find those people, find that niche. What
yeah.
do they need? What are the three, four things that they need most? And then fill that. Figure out how to to create that relationship with them.
Well, we are actively, I've had so many people come to me and say, you know, I want to be a virtual assistant. It's something I'm passionate about doing. How do I do it?
Mm-hmm.
Which has led me to create a couple of new products, which I'll be talking about at another time. But we see, to go back to what I was speaking about earlier, I see a need that needs to be fulfilled now, which is to train people how to become a virtual assistant.
Uh-huh.
And they need to learn this now, and they need to learn it correctly. So
yeah.
we're creating a whole new program based on that, teaching people to do what I do. And I'm very successful at what I do, and I love what I do. My problem, and I think you and I talked about this in a prior conversation, sometimes people say, oh, you know, I just don't have enough hours in every day. And some people say, oh, that's negative, you're working too hard, you know, you've got too much on your plate. No, I want more hours.
Uh-huh.
What we are doing is so exciting. It's so much fun. It's so fulfilling. I wish I could expand time every single day. It's
yeah.
hard to go to bed. It's hard to go to sleep. It's hard to stay asleep.
That's right.
Yeah, this is an exciting time.
Uh-huh.
So like you say, just find those people who need help and figure out a way to help them.
That's right.
It's really the best thing that you can do. So let's just do it for instance. Let me talk to you like I am a struggling service professional. I just started out. I've been doing this for about 6 months. I stay busy all of the time,
mm-hmm.
but I'm overwhelmed because I'm being paid, and I've seen this with VAs, and it drives me crazy. I'm being paid $15 an hour.
Uh-huh.
I'm working 40 hours a week or better, because what a lot of people don't understand is there is a little thing called scope creep, and I want y'all to listen to this term. It's called scope creep, and you will get it whether you're a web developer or you're a virtual assistant, or even if you're a coach. The scope of the project is fluid all of the time. You're always going to be adding, subtracting. You're always going to be going that little bit extra for your client, or you should be. And what happens is you're not really even working with a timer, which we do. You're not really working those 40 hours or 50 hours or whatever it is that you contracted to work with.
Uh-huh.
You're working more. You're taking time out of your own schedule to learn, which you should do.
Yep.
You may do a few little extra things for a client that you just, I don't have the time to open up my client management software. It's not worth it, so I'm giving it to them. There's a lot of freebies that go into this business, and they add up. So here I am. I'm working for $15 an hour. I'm working 40 hours a week. I am frustrated beyond endurance because I have to pay for my health insurance. I have to
uh-huh.
pay for my own taxes.
You have a business run.
Right. And my net is nothing much every week. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
So now what do? I'm working. I am creating a lot of business for my clients. And, you know, I'm no better head than when I was working across town and paying for the gas money to get there. What do I do?
Well, I see a couple things. Number one, you're getting $15 an hour, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you know
terrible?
That they wouldn't have paid 30?
That's just right. Okay, so
you don't know that they wouldn't have, right?
This. No,
so,
I don't.
So now let me ask you, how much do you want to make per year?
Per year?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going
strong
to pick
number,
a figure.
You would love to make.
Let's say 50,000.
Okay. So you want to make $50,000 a year. What is? How many hours a week do you want to work? What's your
50.
Ideal number of hours?
50.
50.
I'll
take
like
50 into
today.
Yeah, 50. That's all. Jeez.
Yeah.
Well,
well,
figure
I'm working for $15 an hour, so I have a very, you know, low self-esteem going on right now.
Sure. Okay. Well, say now, what's your ideal? What do you really want to work? Well, you know what? We'll start there, and we'll work on. You know, you might be a hard case, so I'll say we'll start with 50. But I want that to be the most that you work. So how many of those hours, if you're working 50 hours in a week total, how many of those hours are spent with a client, with client work, billable work?
Oh, 50. You know, I want to work 50 hours for clients.
For clients. Mm-hmm. I want to turn this conversation
around.
Yeah,
so I want to buy a Mercedes. I want to buy
no,
a Mercedes.
That's fine. No, I want to get you to that. I want to get you to the 50,000 without worrying about how many hours a
without
week you're working.
About the
I want to. I don't want to know. I don't want that to turn into 70 hours.
Gotcha.
Okay, so your work week is going to be 50 hours. Let's just take that and say that 25% of your time is spent on busy work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now
might
define
be
busy
fairly
work
realistic. That might be a little. What's that?
Define busy work for our listeners.
Anything that's behind the scenes that doesn't create a direct income for you. So anything that you're doing that isn't a billable hour for your clients. Okay. So when you're doing your own VA work, so to speak, you're doing your own email capturing
which
and whatnot.
Which we do, by the way. Yeah.
And you're doing marketing. You're doing all that stuff. And I recommend that a VA hires a VA for that stuff because you're not making
actually,
money doing that.
I have two VAs that work for me.
Yeah.
So you're right.
So
we,
if anything that's not billable work.
Okay.
So in your 50 hours, if 10 hours are spent just on busy work during the week, it's probably pretty conservative too, but let's say that. That would be 40 hours of billable work for your ideal work week. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the 50,000 divided by 52 is $961 a week. You'd only have to charge $24 an hour.
Now, what about taxes? And you know, I'm going to have to pay my Social Security.
Then you can back that out. So you're going to want to work that into it as well. So back out, say there's a 35% you want to back in. So you just divide that number in. What would that be? So about $33 an hour, $34 an hour.
Right.
Which is very doable.
Well, and that's where starting a VA starting out who has something to offer her clients, that's about where she should be.
Uh-huh. I wouldn't look for anyone less than 35 an hour.
No, no.
Personally,
and
that's just kind of...
people come to me and say that I'll work for 15 or 20, not for me, you won't.
Yeah.
You know, you're
when you shop for a house, you have a price range. When you shop for
exactly.
a car, you have a price range.
Exactly.
If you're looking for a Mercedes and see a Hyundai that has all the bells and whistles, but you're not going to buy it because it's not the price point that you're wanting to invest
right.
in yourself.
Right.
And the same thing happens with successful service professionals. When they want to hire someone as an assistant, a part of their team, it's almost like a bravado kind of thing. It's almost bragging rights.
Right.
Like, well, hey, I pay $50 an hour for my VA. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't mean they're getting any more. Absolutely. You know, people brag about it all the time. Hey, I pay $50 an hour. They'd be embarrassed to say they pay $10 an hour off Elance.
Yeah, and Elance, look, I have worked with Elance providers once.
Uh-huh.
It's just not where you want to be. It really isn't.
No.
But
and there's some, you know,
I've
heard people have some good relationships with them if they're willing to go through the steps it takes to make sure that things are done correctly.
Right.
But that's a different, and it's an entirely different relationship.
It
something
is.
Completely
it's
different than hiring a VA that's local or close to local that you can talk to and communicate with easily.
And speak your language. Exactly right.
Well, I think we're
exactly right.
10 past, so let me mention the website one more time.
Okay, yeah, please do.
It is www.feesettingsecrets.com, feesettingsecrets.com, plural, /VA, as in Victor Apple, .php. I give you all the goodies about the offer.
Well, I will,
and an offer is good until Monday morning, and then that's the price is going to go up a little bit.
Okay.
And But if anyone has any questions, they can shoot an email at tom@chargewhatyoudeserve.com.
And send me that information, and I'll post it on my my page here, and I will also send a broadcast out to my list.
Sounds great.
So
yeah, the sales letter explains everything. Again, there's a money-back guarantee. It's really, I kind of made it a no-brainer offer. With the opportunity to have the laser coaching with the book itself is great, and just the instant gratification of having the download and get to work right away.
Well, the laser coaching to me, I think, is the most important component of this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if somebody can get on the phone and chat with you and you can identify where their areas of angst are,
yep,
and work them around that, that to me is just priceless.
Yeah. And again, with Cheryl, I would like to have worked more, but it's like in a limited amount of time, we can't. That kind of gets into a full-blown coaching session there.
Well, hopefully she'll email you and y'all can, and, you know, talk. It sounds like she's got some real issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. She needs to really follow people around it that are successful, that are doing, because they will help. They honestly will help. So
target the most successful people and model them if you're going to model anyone. That's always
the
best thing to do in business.
Exactly, and I've been doing this for years, and I base a lot of my success on finding people who knew what I didn't know and tag along behind them and just learn everything they learned.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing. You can. It's just astonishing. Just get really, really convinced that you can do anything you want to do, and guess what? You can.
That's right.
It's a great thing. But listen, Tom, I want to thank you so much for your time
today.
Thank you. You've been just, I mean, this has been a wonderful call, and I know that there are so many VAs out there who are sitting by their on their desk going, oh, my gosh, and they're scribbling things down. I bet that there's been a lot of note-taking right now.
I hope so, and I hope it really helps.
Yeah. Oh, I know it has. I know it has. But it has been a real privilege and an honor to have you share so much of your success experience, and I really appreciate your wisdom and your sincere generosity in helping these people, and me too. I actually picked up some pointers that I'm going to be implementing.
Well, good.
And
any feedback that anyone has for me, and you know, share wins, I love to hear it. And what works for you, again, I'm always learning, because I want to share all of it with the world.
And
really,
this is a great world. It really is.
It's great.
Well, thank you again so much, and I really look forward
thank
to
you.
The opportunity to work with you again. And have a great day, y'all.
Thanks. Thanks, Denise. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. So anyway, this is Denise Griffiths. I am welcoming you and saying goodbye, actually, at the same time to the inaugural episode of the Online Entrepreneur Audio Interview Series. And I appreciate you listening in, and I look forward to sharing the next audio in the series. This is Denise Griffiths saying thank you and goodbye. Have a great day.